The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 46 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, I'm Lindsay Sant, and welcome to episode 46 of The Catholics of Oz. It's very happy to have you all with us and to be joining you to share another episode with you all the way from Australia. And I'm joined again, as always, by my wonderful, lovely, all the adjectives that I've used from this year to describe her, my sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how are you going?
Oh, you're such a flatterer. I'm well, thanks. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm good. It's because we're visiting your house later, so I want to make
sure
we get
like, you know,
good lunch.
Yeah, yep. Very excited. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Sucking up. Got to be in my good books for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? We haven't, you and I at least, I know that Isabel saw you in between lockdowns, but I haven't seen you since the start of the year, basically.
Like, no, it's been so long.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, my kids are excited to see their cousins as well, so.
Yeah, that would be good.
Be great.
Did you miss me?
Yeah. What? Sort of.
Yeah, it took a while to respond. I'm just,
Okay, yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to get rid of the awkwardness by introducing welcoming back, I should say. We missed you last week, Lido. So,
yes.
Lido, welcome back to the Catholics of Oz. How have you been?
Oh, it's been great, guys. Thank you very much. I had to work last weekend. We were like 3 days behind a backlog and we had to be done. And it was worth it, you know, getting everything done. But I miss being a podcast with you guys. It's been great.
Yeah, we missed you too.
Two more episodes, guys. Is this our second last one or the next one the last one?
Yes, I think for the year, this will be our second last one. Yeah, so two more episodes for 2020.
Yeah,
then we'll have a bit of a Christmas break. Yeah.
That's true. And it's like you guys are going to see each other. Now, is it going to be a Maltese meeting?
Oh,
like,
totally.
Hello, and it's very loud, or is it going to be just like, my brother and sister are going to see each other? And
I don't know. Yeah, well, we can be loud. We can talk like Maltese people. Hey, God, I don't know. But I'm a bit tired today.
To be quiet.
Yeah. No. We're not necessarily quiet. Yeah.
I'm tired too, but doesn't stop me from being loud.
Oh,
true.
Of course.
It gets worse. The more stance you have in a house, the louder it does get.
Yeah. And then Marilyn, our sister, is coming over.
Oh,
and
here
Mum's
we go.
Going to pop
That's awesome.
Over. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. Mum wants to drop in.
Surprise, Lindsay. I forgot to tell you that. And Dad will pop over. Yeah. So, because they live next door. So.
Yeah. You might be. Yeah. You're in a bit of an almost in a Everybody Loves Raymond situation.
Totally am. And I love it. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Everyone loves Caroline. He's going to say
it. Yeah, that's it. It's my show.
Cool. When life imitates art, yes.
Comedy, even better.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Anyway.
So let's roll on. I just want to remind everyone, please, to remember to like The Catholics of Oz on the SQPN Facebook page when our episodes are posted. You can retweet and share our episodes on Twitter. And you can leave us comments as well on any of those platforms. We love to hear comments. We had a few comments on our Catholics of Oz Facebook page, which was really nice. So thank you for those comments. They were wonderful. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast app. All the episodes of the Catholics of Oz and the other SQPN shows are also up on YouTube. Just search SQPN and find the YouTube channel. Subscribe to it, hit the bell so you get notifications for when new episodes come out so you can catch everything that we produce. Also, you can leave us feedback on iTunes and other podcast directories, and this is really good for us because when you do that, the algorithms say, hey, everyone's listening to The Catholics of Oz. You should listen to it too. That's that's what everyone's thinking, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
of course.
And the reason really, you know, we're not out for any popularity. We just want to connect with people. That's what we're all about. And, you know, so hearing from you and being able to share our ideas with you, I always say that this is a two-way podcast, even though we're the ones doing the talking and maybe you're the one doing the listening, but we always invite a response and we always love to have a discussion. So there we go. Why don't we get started? Again, I think we've just decided for 2020, we're going to leave the casual format going. So, and then we'll get back to to being a bit more organized next year. We're a bit COVID weary, I think, aren't we? We've popped a bit of a thrashing with all these lockdowns and everything.
It was hard work. It really was.
Yes.
But we've got zero cases, zero community transitions, zero anyone sick at the moment, which is fantastic news.
Lots of donuts.
Totally.
All the donuts. Yeah.
How many days is it again, Caroline?
28. This will be 29 days. 29 today. 29 days free. So what an achievement.
That's great. Yeah.
That's great.
The lockdowns really help.
Recording.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
And all the mask wearing that we still have to do.
Lockdown, mask wearing, social distancing, it's all hand sanitizing.
It really does help, all of it.
It's made the difference. It's a hard slog, but it's
hard,
got us there.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. Testament to everybody sticking together. It was really hard, but our whole state really did the hard yards and we got there together. Isn't that cool? Like when you really, make an effort to stick together and do it, what you can achieve. What a great thing, isn't it?
As long as we keep on going with it, guys. That's the thing now. It's happened to New Zealand as well. And what happened to South Australia? It's not eradicated like that. That's what I say in the media. It's still out there. But if we keep our routines, our sanitation, all the things we're doing now, the mask wearing and all that stuff, I think we'll do well. And I think this social distancing and masks, I believe, will be still here for the next year.
Sadly,
it will be like that. But our restrictions and our lockdowns are gone. And it always comes to the common sense side of it now, guys. And I think we Victorians have done very well. And I think we've done the longest ever off of Australia.
Australia, for sure.
Exactly. Oh, by miles, absolutely. Yeah.
And we have to definitely say a prayer and have thoughts for the other countries as well.
Yes.
And there's some people are still locked down. I don't know, sorry, Lindsay, but Caroline, Christine sent me a friend request through Facebook. Now, Christine, we know is Christine Devonport.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, she sent me a
special mention on the podcast.
Exactly, and she lives. Sorry, guys. And then, hey, Christine, if you listen to the podcast, all the way in Bahrain. She lives in Bahrain with her husband and two daughters.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're in lockdown,
Her dad goes to our church, doesn't he?
Exactly. And you know, for the life of me, I never knew his name.
No, but we know it's
him. You know his name now, Malcolm.
He reads now.
Malcolm who reads at church. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Malcolm goes, hey, Lino. Okay, g'day, mate. I never knew his name.
One
of those embarrassing things that you don't know, even though you know the daughter and the close friend.
There you go. Shout out to the Devonports.
Yeah, shout out to them. That's right.
That's true. So we have to keep on playing for the other countries because even though we're doing well and we have to keep on going this, there's a lot of struggle, and especially in America. We pray for them.
They're struggling in many ways, it seems. So
Exactly.
Our thoughts and prayers with them.
Exactly. So I think we can have pat on the back.
And for those who can't see, Lena's trying to pat himself on the back.
Just ask Bernadette to do it for you later.
Oh, no, sure.
On the back. Gently.
Like you said, Lena, we are definitely, Caroline and I we talked about this a little bit last episode as well. Mm. We're definitely praying for everyone around the world. So just because we happen to be in a good position now, doesn't mean that we're like, it's all about us. We're really happy that we've reached where we are, but we are definitely praying for the rest of the world. And, we do watch with interest how other countries are going and hoping that they can get through whatever wave or whatever stage they're up to. Sometimes in different countries, it's just state by state, like we've got here as well, or different regions or areas. But we do hope for an end to this pandemic as soon as possible. Yeah, it was fun. We've learned our lessons, but you can leave now, pandemic. We're done with you.
You can go now.
Yeah. There's some people 100 years from now who would like the next one, not us.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Not us.
I hope there wouldn't be another one ever.
Yeah. Look, the virus is out there still. It's just like we have to just use like just common sense and make sure it doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Until, like Caroline was saying with a few other episodes, that until we find a vaccine and we're able to take a shot and make sure we are immune to this, then you've got to just keep on going with what we're doing now, hey?
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's do a quick whip around the panel. What's been going on in our lives? It gives a Spark Notes version of what was the latest. It's been 2 weeks since we podcasted. So, Caroline, what's going on with you?
Okay, so look, nothing really exciting, but for me it's exciting because I've been able to go out shopping, I've been able to go out to cafe. I met up with my bestest friend in the world, Natasha, last week on Friday.
Hey, Natasha.
Yeah, she came over. Awesome. We hadn't seen each other. She hasn't, I don't think I saw her since the end of last year.
Wow.
It was such a good catch up.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've just been doing normal things, but like it's been so good and so freeing, you know. So, you know, obviously it's my garden and the chickens, but I think everyone's sick of hearing about those.
I think some listeners know more about your garden and chickens than you do now.
probably. My little seedlings are growing well. I'm very happy with that.
Sweet.
Yeah. So for me, it's just a return to normality, really.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's been great. I'm just feeling really good about it, just being able to go. The one thing I'm really glad about too is that we do have to wear masks, but now it's indoors, and outdoors we don't have to wear them. So going for walks without a mask on a hot day.
Oh my goodness,
is good.
Yes.
You know,
so much better.
I totally understand. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's just hard work. Anyway, I don't really have much to report except I've just been back to normal, which is awesome.
Great. Lino, what have you been up to?
Just is the same. Just working. You know, we went out for a cafe. We went to a cafe just locally. We were thinking of going out, but then time, you know how it is, guys. Time just flies and you go, oh, okay, this is a bit too late. just go local. We're about to go to Mornington or Belgrave or sort of that, but I thought, we just go local, and it was great, you know. And then hearing about this being coming to a normal way, I'll just like, yay! You know, you have to wear a mask everywhere. You know, you can always take it off in the car park. It's not too bad, of course.
Yeah,
you know, I was talking about social distancing, blah blah blah. And all that stuff, but it was great.
Dan Andrew say? I liked how he put it. If you go to Bunnings, you're in the car park, no mask.
Yes.
If you go to inside Bunnings, put on your mask. If you're outside waiting for the sausage at the sausage sizzle, wear a mask because you're in a crowded area. So it's like it really defined how
and
to wear a
said,
mask.
Yeah. And then he said, and by the way, the onions go on top of the sausage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. On top, people.
Okay. Yeah, it goes in that. Yeah. And for those who have no idea what we're talking about, there was so Bunnings is a big hardware chain. It's probably the biggest. Yeah, it's almost a monopoly now. Like hardware, like it's warehouses like full of hardware and plumbing and everything.
It's like Macca's. It's like, Macca's. So like you know, Macca's is in every corner. Now we've got Bunnies.
Yeah,
in
Bunnies every corner. Yeah,
in the corner. That's how big they are. Yeah.
Yes, but one thing that's famous all around Australia is that different groups at Bunnings, local groups, scouts, you know, karate clubs, sports clubs, you name
that's
it.
Right.
They all they're able to have a sausage sizzle, you know, selling sausages in bread, snags, I don't know.
Yeah.
What's the American equivalent of a sausage sizzle? What would they call it?
I don't know. They have hot dogs, but it's not quite the same.
Hot dogs is different,
it's a piece of bread, not a hot dog bun.
Hot dog is different.
A hot dog and a barbie.
Yeah. We're talking like an actual beef sausage just in a slice of bread with sauce
with
and
sauce
onions.
And onions on top. And you don't eat it from the middle. You eat it from the end.
I don't eat it from the middle.
Don't eat from the
One politician tried that for his...
And lost the election,
and
I
he
think,
lost
just
it
on the back of that,
it was not good.
Unforgivable. Jesus talks about the unforgivable sin, and I think that's what it is, to be honest. Yeah.
It's actually, trying to eat your sausage from the middle. Yeah. It's like, come on, dude, like, really.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to get to with that is that, no, it's all right. So what happened was, so people would have these sausage sizzles, and, you know, people would get their traditional sausage and bread with, you know, onion with sauce and then onions on top.
Onions on top.
But unfortunately, a person had lined up some onion had fallen out of a out of someone's sausage, like sizzle, bread, whatever you call it, and onto the ground. and a person slipped on it, sued Bunnings and won. And so Bunnings put in a policy that from now on, whenever there's a sausage sizzle, the onions have to go underneath the sausage. And Australia was up in arms. We were so angry about this.
Like, you can't do that. How are you supposed to taste the sauce? Like, you can't have them together. Like, you know.
You know what happens? I guess you can, but
it's protocol.
Yeah, but, you know, the big mistake is that when Australia became a federation, they didn't put this onions on top in the constitution.
No.
And we've been suffering ever since. Yeah. It's terrible.
The sausage can't possibly stick to the bread properly if there's onions in the way. Like,
no.
You're supposed to eat it and the onions fall out. That's just natural.
That's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everything you put on top, isn't it, guys? You just put anything on top.
Yeah, the stuff goes on top. You don't put under the sausage. Like, the sausage has to stick to the bread so you know you've got it secure. Then you put your sauce and condiment, you know, condiments and whatever, like, you can put onions, cheese, pickles, know, pack it up, bacon, like, whatever you want.
Whatever you want,
I'm so hungry now.
I know, I was going to say, Caroline.
I'm going to go to Bunnings after this.
I'm going to go to Bunnings and get some sausages.
I've got Bunnings down the road. I might just see if anyone's having a sausage
sizzle. Literally, it's just made me so hungry. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, everyone who's listening who I've just
I don't know how we got to this topic, but all right, that's it.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, look, with me, over the last 2 weeks, I've just been supremely busy with school. So at time of recording, my Year 12 Religion and Society class has an exam on Monday. So that will be like six days ago when this podcast comes out. So December 30th. Man. Yeah. No, sorry, November 30th. What did I say? November 30th.
Whoa.
Not after Christmas. There's no school.
It's come so far, man.
But I have been getting slammed with practice questions. My goodness. Yeah.
Wow.
And so, especially in the last 2 weeks, I've been up till midnight and past midnight marking practice questions because, I mean, you know, they want to do well, which is fair enough. So I've been doing as much as I can to get. So my policy has been for me personally is that when I get student work, I make sure I return it the day after so that because the problem is if I don't, it piles up like anything and I'll just be in this massive backlog. So
Just on that, Lindsay, how are the kids? Yeah. Do you feel like there's a difference from like when you've been teaching in the past and difference to like them having gone through learning from home and all the rest? Do you think that they're a little bit more anxious this year maybe because they haven't had that face-to-face, or do you think they're managing, or is it a mix? What do you reckon?
Yes and no. It depends on how the students handled remote learning. So there were some that thrived, and so they've come back, and they're just ready to, you know, because our exam started a month ago. So, the English exam was the first one, you know, earlier this month. But I think that the ones who were okay in remote learning are okay with it. I mean, apart from the usual exam, you know, anxiousness that you have. Maybe the ones who struggle in remote learning are probably finding it a bit more difficult. But I've got to say, like, shout out to my colleagues that they have loved their students so much and given everything they can. We, you know, our teachers are exhausted right now because we've just we've done everything we can, I think, anyway, to help our students get over the line and be as ready for these exams as we can. So, So I'll see my group I've got 15 students. I'll see them on Monday. It's always tradition for me to gather them together just before the exam. We say a prayer together.
Of course,
offer some advice. I always tell them, when you walk in, don't be nervous. You don't need to be nervous. I said, I'm going to go to my office now and I'm going to go and be nervous and worried and anxious. That's my job, you know.
That's so nice.
I said, that's my job. I said, your job is to do as well as you can. As a joke, I say, you shouldn't be afraid of the exam paper. The exam paper is afraid of you. You should, you know, you're going to walk in with all this superior knowledge that you have and you're going to write all over it and it's got no choice but to let you do that. It should be afraid of you, not the other way around.
My teacher told me that.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I must have known that's from the 90s, eh?
They just let us fly. They just go, out you go.
Out you go. Just go.
Thanks for all the fish. See ya. Cool. So, look, it's just been a really busy couple of weeks to me. I haven't really been, apart from Friday nights with Star Trek Discovery and The Mandalorian, I haven't been watching much TV. I did start season 6 of Bosch a while ago. Thank you, Dom. I'm only about four episodes in, but I am enjoying it a lot and I can't wait to watch more. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. And the other thing I did was, and thank God for this, like literally thank God for this, as that is a prayer that I've been saying a lot. I submitted my final essay for this year.
Yes, congratulations
so
for that.
That was such a relief. Yeah, yeah.
We know
so
you've
such
been
a relief
working
to get
very
that done.
Hard.
Yeah, and I got a grade, thankfully, so now I don't have to worry about essay writing until next year. So, yeah.
Fantastic. So, you can have a break now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, not to boast, but because I'm the two other colleagues that I have in my office, we're all doing the same course together, and we all happen to get distinctions or high distinctions for these essays, which is like we didn't expect it because we all thought we did, like we honestly thought we did terribly because everyone was rushing to get their work done. So obviously we've gone through the process of, you know, reading, proof checking, whatever, we've done all that, but it doesn't feel like we've done
work.
It well. Yeah.
If you put in the hard work, it's not a surprise,
yeah.
is it?
That's it. But, That's it. Yeah, I've walked into the office and I go, oh, it's hello, my two distinct gentlemen. I mean, you know, or I say, it's a distinct pleasure to meet you. And, I like spending time with men of such high distinction. You know?
Oh, no. It's just dad joke-a-rama.
Yeah. Look, we don't know when we're going to get good marks again, so we might as well milk it, you know? That's
true. Yeah. I guess you're entitled to make those jokes.
Yeah. And to all the dads out there, you dad joke whenever you want. Don't let no one tell you can't do that. If they want to cringe, let them cringe. The problem is them, not you. And when you tell your dad joke, you laugh at it as well. You laugh at your joke like it's the funniest thing you've ever said.
It doesn't matter because you're laughing.
That's right. You're entertained. You're happy. That's the key thing. If they don't laugh, they miss the joke. They have no sense of humor.
It's a little similar to mum jokes, to be honest, because my kids... You know how many eye rolls I've been seeing lately because they're getting older?
Yeah. Isn't that a saying, guys? What goes around comes around?
Mm-hmm.
Because our parents used to give us their jokes and go, oh, really, Dad? Will you, Mum?
Yeah.
And now we're doing it.
I think we're slightly worse.
It is. It's just like a sort of vicious circle.
Yeah.
It goes around and around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a colleague the other day, again in my office, and he was talking about how terrible the traffic was. And he goes, how do you get to work, Lindsay? I said, in a car. He wasn't pleased with that. Yeah, I laughed. I thought it was funny, and he was like, "Yeah." All right.
Funny.
So let's do some actual.
You can tell we're a bit relaxed now, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
We're having a bit of a relaxed.
Bit of a relaxed one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's give the people some content, shall we?
Yeah.
Give
what
they came for.
There is content coming.
There is content. Let's start with one that that's important to all Catholics and people of the Christian faith and you know, by extension, a lot of people around the world, and that is we're on the journey towards Christmas now. So when this podcast comes out, it will be on the second Sunday of Advent. So happy second Sunday. What is it? The candle? I think the candle is love. Yes.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yes. Pretty sure it's hope, love. Joy and peace.
I'll ask Frankie because he knows him. He's like Advent expert. He loves it.
Yeah. So the theme of this Sunday is love, which is a beautiful one.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the first week, which for us, the first Sunday of Advent, which is tomorrow. And Advent, you know, there's the typical explanation of Advent, which is we remember the hope and expectation of the coming of the Messiah. That's the biblical hope of Advent, the way we understand it. The Old Testament, there are a lot of places where it refers to, and especially in the Psalms, the hope for a Messiah, for God to come and you know, wipe away evil and bring in, usher in the kingdom of God. You know, there's I'm paraphrasing the language very badly, but there's all that hope of God coming in and taking away our ills, you know, and bringing in his kingship, becoming the king for everyone. And if you read the Gospels, and I'll say something about the Gospels in a moment, but if you read the Gospels, there is, especially in the Gospel of Mark, and I'm a bit biased towards it at the moment because it's been part of that was what my essay was about. I ranted and raved about how great it was a couple of episodes ago.
Yep.
But there was this expectation that when Jesus came and when people started figuring him out, that he was going to bring in an earthly kingdom, that, you know, the kingdom of God, where, you know, that when the Messiah comes, they're going to get rid of the Romans. And Jesus will take his place as a king, and then Israel will be this great kingdom ruled by God. God will be directly there, ruling the people, and no one will touch them ever again, and they'll be a powerful nation. And that's what they were kind of expecting. But Jesus didn't come to bring in a temporal kingdom, a temporary kingdom. He was proclaiming an eternal kingdom. It's something even better, a better product. The problem is, it must be you know, it must have been a source of frustration in some ways, at least early on, for his followers, because it must be hard for them to see it. I'm wondering, just reading, with all the misunderstanding they had, because they were thinking, but what about the Romans? You know, look, here we are. You know, and the people who read Mark's gospel, the actual audience of Mark's gospel, you know, decades after Jesus died, they were being persecuted by Nero, and terrible stuff. You know, they were the scapegoats for the fires of Rome, basically. And there is some possible historical evidence that Nero was responsible, at least in part, for some of those fires, because he wanted to set up some new building projects in Rome. So let's scapegoat the Christians. That's basically what happened. And the Christians were under terrible pressure because they were getting arrested and being told, who are the other Christians that you know? Can you imagine how terrible this is? You know, and so they're being told, you know, stick with Jesus, stick with this eternal kingdom. But that's hard. You know, that's not, you know, human experience tells it's hard. We want to keep our convictions. We want to hold on to God in every circumstance, but we're also human as well, aren't we? And we fail. And no greater failure do we see than St. Peter's failure when he says, no, I'm going to stick with you through everything. I'm there. I will follow you right to the end. And then when he's tested, he's like, I don't know who you're talking about. Really interesting on that note in Mark's gospel that Jesus, I'm using air quotes here, no one can see those, but at his trial in Mark's gospel, he's basically forced to admit who he is, his identity. You know, I'm the Son of God. I am the Son of God, or I am He. And you'll see the Son of Man coming on, you know, on clouds, you know, to judge, you know, like judgment. So his identity is here it is. I'm God in your midst. And the irony, of course, is that the Jewish leaders there who are all about God can't see God in their midst. And at exactly that same moment when Peter makes his third denial, he swears an oath. And you only swear an oath if you're swearing with God as your witness. And he says, I swear by God, I don't know God. You know, I don't know the man you're talking about. You know? So talk about being under intense pressure with your faith. It's tested and you fail. And it happens. But the great hope of Mark's gospel, because I have mentioned before that it ends abruptly with the women finding out that Jesus is gone, he's been resurrected, and being told, go tell the others. And it says, and they told no one, full stop. And then, of course, historically, that people have added the rest of the story as well. However, there's hope because, and I didn't pick this up, and this is great. At the Last Supper, Jesus says, you know, or in the garden. Okay, I've got my details mixed up. But anyway, but Jesus talks about how after everything's over, he will meet them again in Galilee. Mm-hmm. So actually, even though people run away and Peter is never reconciled in Mark's gospel to Jesus, it says that Jesus will meet them again. So there's hope. Even when we get to the worst that we can possibly be, if we fail and deny our faith, that it doesn't mean it's over. Jesus is still waiting for us in Galilee. That's symbolic, you know, but there it is for us. So in terms of Advent, there it is. It's our journey towards Jesus, you know, the Christ child who came in the flesh, you know, shared our human experience, loved us by becoming one of us, you know, God made man in the flesh.
Definitely, yeah.
How intimate God is with his people, how much he cares about us, how personal our relationship with God really is. It's not distant, it's not far away. And we're so Advent, away. Yeah, Advent is our rediscovery of this, I think. It's so many things, Advent. It's got cosmological implications in terms of, you know, Christ breaking through human reality and human history and, you know, changing the course of the world and vanishing the forces of evil through his healing miracles and all that kind of stuff going on. And so while it's big and cosmological, it's also intensely personal as well.
Exactly. Definitely.
And I just think that's such a beautiful thing in our faith, because our faith is not a philosophy or a concept or an idea or an ideology. It's human reality.
It's human reality. Yeah, definitely.
And who knows human reality better than the God who made us? And so that's what I'm thinking about with this Advent as we go through the journey. One thing I was thinking of before this podcast is don't think of, because there are a lot of great and wonderful Advent programs that come out. So people will produce booklets, you know, prayers for Advent, pray this in week one, pray this in week two, with scripture readings, and there's online ones and physical books, and those are great. And if you have access to those and they help you, please go ahead and use them. The one thing I would just caution people about is to think of Advent itself as a program. It's not. Programs, you know, and we can fall into that. You know, I'm following the program. It's great. Advent is not a program. It's a pilgrimage. It's a journey. And the destination, like we have it, spoiler alert, the destination is that fifth candle that we light at Christmas masses. The destination is Christ. And the advent of Christ. This is how Christ came into the world. This is what it meant when the Messiah came into the world. This is the kingdom our Messiah has ushered in, and this is what we're part of now. Now that it's happened in our history, this is the kingdom that we're part of. And now for us, the hope and expectation is new. It's not the hope and expectation of a Messiah coming into the world. It's the hope and expectation of the Messiah coming back to, you know, again, to restore everything. So there's a whole beautiful, you know, there are people a billion times smarter than me that know a whole lot more that I've benefited from. But I think Advent is a wonderful time of the year for us to prepare for, you know, to prepare again for our God, to renew ourselves again. It's also, interestingly, it's the new year for the church as well. So Advent, you know, the end of the church year, the church calendar. So we finish a week before Advent with the Feast of Christ the King. Here is your King, you know, recognizing him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we prepare our hearts for Jesus in the same way that people were preparing themselves for their Messiah. So, you know, Jesus is obviously with us right now. You know, he's right here in our hearts. But we redo it. We refresh. You know, we hit the renew button. We hit the restore button. You know, especially, I mean, Advent in a year like this, don't waste it in a pandemic year. The years to hope and expect a Messiah to come into our hearts to save us from all of our, you know, not even from the pandemic itself, but just from the strain it's caused, the mental strain, all the things it's done to us. And what's the hope of salvation in this pandemic? It's Jesus, our Messiah, our God who relates to us personally.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's my reflections, a couple of things.
Well, that's good, Lindsay, as always.
I didn't want to go into here's what Advent is and, you know, here's what you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about where my heart is, where my head and my heart are at the moment. And it's probably because I wrote a big essay as well.
No, it's good. We get to hear the fruits of all your writing, so it's great. Yeah.
Cool. So there's my Advent rant.
Advent rant.
Yeah. Now I'll put you both on the spot. But just any thoughts or reflections on Advent from either of you? Where what you're thinking? Just your general impressions about what your journey of Advent is going to be like? What you're hoping it will be for you, Caroline? Any thoughts?
Yeah. Well. Okay. So, I always like reflect on my family. And, you know, obviously, as I'm a mother of two small children, and Frankie loves Christmas, my eldest, and he's always about the Advent calendar. And yes. He kind of taught me a lesson, I have to say, because I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll go get Advent calendars. You can choose which one you want. And here I am thinking, oh, he probably just want with chocolate or Lego every day or something.
Good choice.
But, you know, you get a chocolate every day, which they like. But, you know, he goes to me, Mum, I think we can do maybe we can find a calendar, an Advent calendar, where it's got heart values in it. Now, the heart values is something they teach them at school. It's like kindness and empathy and, you know, there's a few other really nice things that they try and instill in the kids, which is really beautiful.
Yeah.
And it turns out beautiful kids, because they all love that kind of thing, you know, they really take to it and they learn from it. And I just thought, wow, how's that for teaching me something? Here I am thinking that, you know, chocolate every day or whatever. And he's like, no, I want a calendar that has, you know, the heart values, and you do something nice for someone every day. So you open it and it says, you know, like maybe help your mum today do this or something. And I was like, wow, you know what? We can probably make something like that, because I doubt very highly that they sell something like that in the shops. I'm not sure how well it would sell if it doesn't have like a chocolate in it or a Lego or a bottle of alcohol, you know, there's all sorts of cups
wait,
of
wait a
tea.
Minute, a calendar where I have to do things?
It's not something for me. I have to give something to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wow,
I like that.
That's a beautiful concept. So I will get them a traditional one, but I think we'll also go ahead make his Heart Values Advent calendar, and we'll, you know, then we can all reflect together. We can open it together, and we can do something nice for each other.
Why
we
not?
Can, you know, even just the exercise of coming up with the thing to do, the activity or the thought or whatever. I think, you know, it's really good. So, yeah, I was taught something by my 8-year-old.
Oh, wow. Caroline, this definitely has to post
really
that
beautiful.
On Facebook, darling. That
is.
You had to put it on the Facebook. Well, if you want to, you can do it for every day.
Yeah.
But for everyone else in the know what's going on and along with that, oh, this is so awesome. Jeez.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just blown. I'm blown.
I know.
I
my mind was blown too. Wow. Like, he's a real thinker, Frankie, and he just comes out with these things that surprise me, you know, just like, wow, okay.
Awesome. It's always humbling, isn't it, when lessons come from our kids or from any child, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's far superior than I could have thought of. Yeah. You know, myself, here I am being really simplistic about it, and he's like, you know, just, like you said, blown me away. So
cool.
Awesome. Amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, I mean, I'm still going to shout out for Lego Star Wars.
Is
it part of a marketing?
There better be a Baby Yoda one in this year's version.
Oh,
but
that's gonna. Oh, okay.
But Caroline,
that's gonna
Caroline. That's a beautiful idea. Good on you, Frankie. That's great. Lino, Advent. Any thoughts? Where are you up to in thinking about Advent?
Well, especially the birth of Jesus, and but like I was telling you guys, I'm not going to go negative or have a big rant about it, but so far after this pandemic, the only thing I've been seeing on TV is, how can I say it, the secular world is saturating us with everything about Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Buy this.
Shopping.
Buy that. Shopping. Yeah. Of course, it is for us Black Friday.
Maybe a week ago. Week ago when the podcast comes out. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then we got something called Cyber Monday, which is all the
About that. Okay, good. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No, all good. It's just the only thing I was seeing on the TV and on the radio is all thinking about was about Santa. And I know it's all about hope and everything, but it was nothing about Jesus. And the birth of Jesus coming. And I don't know, it was just so much of it. And I was just, I might as well sound like an old person, but every time something comes up and I tell Bernie goes, babe, that's just a normal thing for TV and everything. I go, yeah, that's true. Nothing about Jesus and everything. But yeah, it's just Advent for me is about the coming of Christ. It's not coming of Christ, the birth of Christ coming up towards it. It's great. And it's one of the ones besides Lent that I'm really are looking forward to. And also, a new thing I don't – I'm going to go personal about this, but the only thing I don't like about Christmas is – how can I say it? I'm trying to find things for people.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Shopping.
Exactly. I need to get this for your mum, for your dad, for your brother.
Yeah.
For this person and that person, and as I personally do this, I just think how am I going to say it? I just feel that I'm being a materialistic person.
Sure.
As I'm thinking, giving this person an iPhone, which I would love to have anyway. a watch or anything like that. And just saying here, Merry Christmas, and. And I don't know. I want to give something that it gives the idea of the birth of Christ.
Sure.
You know, happy Merry Christmas, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Well, let's say happy birthday to Christ and find our way of understanding that, especially for us Catholics.
Mm.
You know, don't get too saturated and too consumed of consumerism. You know what I mean?
That's good.
Try to get to your mind and prayer that. You know, his birthday is coming soon, and put that in front before everything else, because that's what I've been feeling for every year is like materialistic, buy this, buy that before Jesus comes in. You know,
it's true,
and especially with this pandemic gone, it's all gone. Who do we thank? Of course, we thank all the workers and everyone who's who's still studying. Trying to find the what is it, Caroline?
The vaccine,
vaccine,
everything. You know, but it's also thanking God and Jesus for keeping us all together and keeping us all contacted and keeping us strong. You know, and like all of us are saying that without Him, you know, I don't know all the other people who are not who believe in God and everything like that. But for us, we would just be lost in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but with Jesus in the front,
You know,
but I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah. Lena, it's interesting because I realized, and maybe this is the better timing, but I realized that I'd actually set up a Pope Francis article to talk about as part of my Advent rant or my reflection, I should say. And I forgot to do it completely as I got excited about what I was talking about. Sorry. But I think you've summarized it. I'll put this link in the show notes. But excuse me, Pope Francis, there's a new book, an interview with, I think Austin Ivory is the name of the author, I think it is. He's interviewed Pope Francis about hope. I hope I got that right. So it's really irony of what I just said. Anyway, But Pope Francis in this, an excerpt of it was adapted for the New York Times and put in as an opinion piece. He said a lot of things. It's beautiful. And he was talking about not forgetting people, just like you've talked about. And he said, we need to be careful. We've got the pandemic, but there are other pandemics that we can't see, like the pandemic of indifference, the pandemic of not caring about other people, the pandemic of ignoring the homeless, the pandemic of ignoring the sick. There's all these other ones. He said, and you can't wear a mask for those. There are other ways that we need to try and inoculate ourselves against it. So, Lena, I think you've summed that up really well. So, I won't say more. But I think the article or the piece is actually worth reading. It's his. Mm-hmm. It's you know, this piece really is, I guess, his outreach to the secular world that you just mentioned. I think it's worth a read. So we'll share that as well. Yeah, thank you for that, Lino. That's really good.
Hopefully, it's not too much of a rant, guys. I don't want to get too negative.
Right. No.
Great. And if anyone else wants to send us their rants, we'll read it. Go ahead. Email us.
Yes, we love a rant.
CatholicsOfOz@sqpn.com. Go ahead. Send it.
/rant.
Rant away. Make it a nice rant, but just put a positive thing at the end. We'll read it.
Yes, please.
Tie it up. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to share one more little thing. I'm going to review this item, but I'm going to review it in 10 seconds because I've only got it yesterday. And only you guys can see it because we haven't got a camera for our audience. But Carol, I think I actually mentioned this in our episode with Father Calloway that I was waiting for my Word on Fire Bible to, and that was episode 40 something in the early 40s. So it's been a while.
Early 40s.
Yes,
hey, but came in, man.
Awesome. Yeah, but my Word on Fire Bible has finally arrived.
Very nice looking.
It's beautiful. I got the hardcover because the leather one's probably just a little bit out of my price range. But the Bible is the Bible. I would have got the soft cover if I had to. But the thing is, I want to stick it on a bookshelf and make sure it's protected. So I thought a hardcover would be a good compromise.
Next to your Lord of the Rings.
Look at the spine. It almost is kind of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Put him next to your Lord of the Rings book. Right.
It's very...
The two towers, I mean the Gospels.
Yeah.
The four Gospels.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I've only read the introductions and just had a look at the format. So
you kind of know what the Bible's about now.
Yeah, look, spoiler alert, I know how it ends, all right? But, you know, but the thing is, I was reading it and the intention of the Word on Fire Bible is really to help people to rediscover who is God, who is Jesus, you know, and by extension, I'm adding this, but who is Jesus that reveals God to us? Because if we want to know who God is, I've sort of just ranting about Jesus before, you know, for Advent, but if we want to know who God is, we find out through his son, through Jesus, you know, who is God, who is part of the Trinity, but is the human expression of God for us to understand him. And so this Bible kind of has that intention. It mentions in Bishop Barron's opening letter that people, you know, it's talking about the United States, but the number of people who don't believe in God anymore is slowly on the rise. And the Bible itself is becoming a very difficult book for people in our modern audience with modern thinking to understand. Some of it is a very foreign concept. So what he's tried to do, and I think from the looks of it, it looks like it can do the job. He's tried to produce a Bible that will reach out to people through beauty, through things that they can relate to. So it's essentially this one, this version is just the four Gospels. It's just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There'll be more coming out later with with the prophets, the law, the Pentateuch, the letters. I don't know if the book of Revelation will be its own thing or if it will be part of the letters in the New Testament. I'm not sure. But either way, he's sort of releasing sections, and there's commentary all the way throughout. So you don't just read a book like, a gospel from start to end. It's interrupted deliberately by different commentary. Key sections are highlighted. So I was having a look at one, the Sermon on the Mount. There's like a 2 or 3 page explanation of the Sermon on the Mount after you read it. It's injected with art, all kinds of art, and not just look at this picture. Here's a picture of the Good Samaritan or whatever. The key features are highlighted and explained. How does this art explain the parable or the story or the moment? And what I actually love is there's art all the way throughout that's explained. And art has this power of being able to take concepts that we can't wrap our heads around and make it more understandable in a very visual kind of way. And he's done that well. So it's got his commentary. It's got commentary from a couple of others. He's taken commentary from some of the early church fathers as well. So I love the format of it, the way it's set up. You don't have like a whole page of scripture. You'll have maybe half a page of scripture and then some explanation for it.
Explanation.
So it's really well thought out. And I'm looking forward to. I do plan to just digest it from start to end over the coming weeks and months. So one thing I've wanted to do for a while is actually renew my understanding of the Gospels and have a good read of it. So I think this is a great entry point into the Gospels. He does mention that he was given a Bible when he was 13, and so he thought, great, I can't wait to read this. And he said he got at a young age he got to about chapter 13 of Genesis and he had enough. And then he asked someone, they said, oh no, start with the Gospels. And he said he got halfway through the Gospel of Matthew and he had enough, he couldn't do it. It's because there was no one to break open the word for him to help him understand it. This is a Bible that's designed to break open the word and help us understand it. He describes it in his videos. He says it's a cathedral in print, and I can see why now.
Wow, that's nice.
So just from my one day with it that I had yesterday. And when I say one day, I sat down with it for an hour and a bit, I'm already thoroughly impressed, and I can already recommend it. I can't wait to read more of it myself. I'll say more about it in future episodes when I've had a go at reading it, but cool. I'm really excited about exploring the Gospels through this particular version of it.
Nice, man.
There we go. So full disclosure and transparency to our listeners, our show notes, I usually do a much better job with show notes and I put links. it's a bit of a rush this morning. It's Caroline's turn to talk about science, and she's got a few space topics. So the line I've written here is lots of spacey stuff from Caroline.
Yay!
So, Caroline, give us some updates on what's been happening. There's some really exciting stuff in the area of space. So what's been happening in space exploration?
Yeah, there's some pretty cool missions going around as always. But today I want to highlight the Hayabusa 2 mission from JAXA, which is the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency. The reason I want to talk about it is because it's some cool events are happening around it at the moment, and I will go through that. So basically, it's an asteroid sample return mission, which I love those ones because it's actually, going somewhere and then returning a sample from where they've been to Earth.
Also,
from the outer reaches of the, I was going to say the galaxy, but it's actually just the solar system. This one was launched in 2014, December, and it's gone to explore and study and sample the asteroid Ryugu. And it arrived there on June 27th in 2018, where it did its surveying and it took some samples. So basically it's a bit like the OSIRIS-REx mission we talked about a few episodes ago, where touched the asteroid. This time they shot a projectile instead of a burst of gas. This one they just actually shot a projectile out, stirred up the dust and whatever was on there and took the sample. But I wanted
to. So they
to
fired
talk-
at an asteroid. They
did.
Wow, yeah. Cool. Is that the first time in human history that's happened, or?
Well, they've done
have
it.
We done it
they've,
before.
They this is like their number two mission. They've actually done another one. So
you're
before
right.
this,
yes,
in
yeah.
2000, yeah. So yeah. yes, they've done it. Yes. Yep. The same people do it already.
They've been shooting asteroids before. It's not their first time. Yeah.
But it's
gotcha.
Not like a massive shot yeah. to destroy the asteroid. It's yeah. like a tiny pellet, okay? It's like so it's not like shooting at an asteroid. I mean, that
All right,
would be
so what
cool.
you're saying is we haven't declared war on an asteroid, is that what
no.
you're saying?
No. And it's no. not
Thank
space
goodness.
Invaders or anything like that. Like whatever those
guys. Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
Those
yeah.
asteroid what's that one where you, anyway, I'll go off yeah. the track if I talk about that. So
retro.
So the Hayabusa 2 mission is actually really interesting. I'd love to just say let you know about the payload that was on it, on this particular vehicle. So it has several sensors. So it's got a thermal infrared camera, a navigation camera, near infrared, laser ranger finder,
wow.
a LIDAR, which is awesome, a
yep.
sampling device, small carry-on impactor, not a missile, deployable camera, and actually I don't know why, but I missed this bit. It carried four little rovers on it.
Oh.
Okay. Yes. So so not only did it go and take a sample, it actually put four little rovers on, and these were from various little like universities and things around the place. So they were very small vehicles, like tiny little things.
Like a remote control almost. Car. Kind
remote control
thing.
Car.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, just really
Sweet.
Small.
You know what? Sorry to interrupt. I reckon
yeah,
there's like these four
oh,
these
wow.
four guys that just wanted to have like a little RC car race on an asteroid.
Yes.
Just four of
yes.
them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my
yes.
I didn't know they had that, to be honest, though. I actually never, this is the first
I
time
know,
I'm hearing about this.
I've read about the mission. I totally missed this. So anyway,
oh, wow.
so that's why I
yeah.
wanted to talk about it. It's a very interesting mission.
Yes.
So they have all those sensors on basically for imaging and analyzing the composition of the surface and temperature before they actually got down to the asteroid itself. But then it deployed these little rovers. So there was Minerva 2, which they deployed, and it actually released two other little rovers. It's kind
what?
Of really cool, yeah.
What?
So
this is like
rover...
the Babushka dolls of rovers.
Yes, it's like that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like that.
And this is amazing.
It was pretty cool. So September 2018, wow. they released them. And this was Rover. So it's Minerva 2, number one. So and that contained Rover 1A, Rover 1B. Mm. They were both like little cylindrical-shaped rovers. About these are tiny, 7 centimetres tall and 18 centimetres in diameter.
Wow, it's a matchbox car.
That's and, a, yeah.
And so and they kind of because hopped that, in the low gravity. Yeah,
yes,
like
later.
A stapler.
Yeah.
Right there.
Stapler.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's tiny.
Man. Wow.
But they actually had cameras and thermometers on there. So they had tiny little sensors and
wow.
like equipment. There's measuring equipment, analyzing equipment on there. The 1A operated for 113 asteroid days and 1B for 10. And they took videos and photos of the asteroid surface as well as, you know, temperature measurements and things like that. So pretty cool.
Is this available? Well, I have to check this out.
Yeah, actually Wikipedia has some photos and things and
oh.
you can go and, you know, obviously go and look it up. There's the JAXA website you can go to as well. So there's
I didn't
all,
know this.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And
first
I saw the
said,
photos. It's like, wow, it's yeah. cool. It's really
first
cool.
First it's a probe that releases rovers, and then it's
yeah.
a rover that releases little rovers.
Yes.
This is like every anime cartoon I've ever seen,
yes,
isn't
but,
it? Like all these little
just
machinery.
Just hold on, because
you know,
I'm
yeah.
not finished. Yeah,
I'm
no,
so impressed. I'm so impressed.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It's a very cool mission, I have to
yeah.
say. And then there's Minerva 2 number 2, which held rover number 2, which was an octagonal prism shape. 15 centimetres by 16 centimetres. It contained a thermometer, two cameras, an accelerometer, UV LEDs, to detect, and these were to detect the floating particles, which is...
Sounds like an iPhone. You
know, it's like an iPhone. The latest one has a LIDAR on it.
Yes.
I had no
oh,
idea.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
unfortunately, this one did fail before it got to the surface, but it still took some measurements before it... its demise impacting on the asteroid.
Oh, the asteroid.
Yeah. Then they had a mascot rover, And they released that one October 2018, and that was a collaboration between German Aerospace Agency and the French Space Agency. This is a little bit bigger, by 29 centimeters by 27. Mm-hmm. It contained an infrared camera, spectrometer, magnetometer, radiometer, and camera. And I was reading that this mission was so good that they wrote some papers about it. They were able to find some really good information about the composition of the asteroid. They found it's not really that dense, you know, just some really good information. So that was a very successful little mission. So there's like mission with side missions on it.
Yeah.
So it's very cool.
Lino,
you say it. It's like an RPG game.
Yeah, we know all about side quests.
There you go.
Caroline will know about your quests as well. What's it good? I'm Vince.
Caroline, you had the boys on this podcast at side quests.
There you go. I suddenly became a lot cooler.
Yep. Yeah. Slaying dragons on an asteroid.
I'm finally cool. Yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
So I just wanted to mention those as well, but. As I said, there's more. So aside from that, Hayabusa 2 took a sample by firing projectile into the surface, took the sample, it's going to arrive back at Earth. So after it took the sample, it's come back to Earth, and it's going to be arriving here in December. And actually in Australia, in Woomera, at the Woomera Test Range. So it's going to parachute down. Now, Hayabusa itself is going to stay in mission. So the actual craft itself is not going to be entering the atmosphere. It's just going to release a little capsule. It's going to come through the atmosphere. It's going to have a little parachute, and the sample itself only is going to land, so that JAXA then, they've already got some people from Japan here in Australia. They've been, at the site and everything and preparing for it to land. And, early December, we will have news on Australian, on the Australian news.
I love the Australian connection. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. But that's not all. So after releasing the capsule, the Hayabusa will return to its exploration mission. It's going to do more things. I was thinking to myself, what's cooler than a booster returning from a rocket back to Earth? A mission that has many missions on the site, and it's like an exploration mission going around our solar system.
Okay, whoever designed this plays RPGs, Lena. I'm
confused. I must be, mate. I'm sorry, guys. Look, who made this?
They have this amazing capacity to really think outside the box and get the most
I'm going to go a bit of a side quest, but did you see on the news yesterday about a robot in Japan for the COVID who goes up to people and say, you have to wear a mask?
Really?
Robot, they'll come up to you and tell you that. I'm sorry, that was just a side set.
That's okay.
Yeah.
OMG, if this happened in Australia, all of us will be freaked out. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry.
Different society. Interesting.
Oh, no, true. I'm sorry, but Japanese industry and technology, they go like 10 years or 20 years ahead of everyone else.
Totally are.
In Australia, someone would say, that robot is taking my rights.
And they just get a cricket back.
Oh, my
cricket
goodness,
back to it.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, sorry. Sorry.
This is not a political podcast. Sorry, keep going.
Anyway, after the capsule lands, Hayabusa is going to fly off again. It has another mission to meet up with an asteroid in 2031. And it's a much smaller asteroid this time. It's only 30 meters across. It's called 1998 KY26. And apparently it's a very fast spinning asteroid. You know, but I watched a little video of the research scientists, and they were saying things like they'd really like to know, you know, why do small asteroids not fall apart? Because there's not mm-hmm. really much of them. And to learn more about the characteristics of asteroids in terms of planetary defense. So, like, if you've yep. got a big asteroid coming, do we need to worry about it? Is it really dense? You know, is it something that's really going to make an impact on the Earth? You know, will it break up before it, you know, all of that kind of thing? It's really interesting. So Hayabusa still has one target marker, so like where they find where to like get, you know, procure a sample, and a projectile. So it's got another set on there ready to go for this mm-hmm. asteroid. And so the challenges with this is that because it has a fast rotation and it's very small, Ryugu was much larger than this. And so it's going to be a challenge for them to actually get the target and fire the projectile and get the sample, which, you know, they're up for the challenge, obviously. So
yeah,
it's gonna
challenge
be,
accepted. Yeah,
so it's got 11 years. Yeah. But in the meantime, on the way, I had to talk about it because I just thought it's amazing. So they've got some other little more side missions, you know, to go. So we've got a side quest.
Do these side quests have difficulty ratings as well?
Like, I reckon they should, because some of these are pretty, you know, challenging, I think.
Challenging, I was about to say.
For example, they want to measure zodiacal light from as the distance from the sun changes. Now, zodiacal light, I actually had to look it up, was, you know, on the horizon very early morning and the first peep of light comes through from the sun. So you just start to see the very light diffuse touches of the sun coming through. That's the zodiacal light. Cool. So they want to measure that in space, you know, as they're orbiting the sun. So they're going to be quite far out at things, and they want to measure that. And they want to measure the distribution of dust in the planetary space, which that's a good mission, I reckon. You know, how dusty are we out there? The dust settled? Yeah. Has it been like pulled in by gravity onto, you know, asteroids and planets and moons and whatever?
Good job.
That's a pretty cool mission. And also this one, to observe the transit of exoplanets as they pass in front of their stars. So, like, usually we do that with telescopes here on Earth and out in space as well. So measuring, you know, watching for the dips in light as the planet passes through, you know, past the star. So, I mean, why do just, like, a little thing, you know, when you can do lots of big things.
And
the last thing too, they want to fly past another asteroid called 2001 CC21, and they want to try and image it. Now, they said they may not have the right cameras because they don't have a telephoto on there, but they're going to try and image that as well as they pass. So, it's an action-packed little craft. It's got a lot of
goodness me, it's
analyzers
impressive.
And instruments on there, and it's just I think they're just maximizing what they can going. So
You know, and by the way, China is just going to the moon to collect some rock samples, and you know,
and they want to bring it back in December.
We'll have by the time this comes out, we'll have launched Starship and landed it or crashed it into the ground. You know, but,
yeah,
and those are amazing, but this mission is like,
that's really cool. And by the way, December is when China want to bring back their sample, so that's really cool. And that one's cool too because it's like an Apollo-like mission on a small scale they're going to have an orbiter, they're going to have a little lander that goes out, goes down to the moon, collects sample, then goes back up to the orbiter and then flies to Earth. And that's cool.
And they don't normally live stream their launches, but they live stream this one. So I'm hoping we'll see a lot more information about the progress of this mission. It's a good one to follow.
I read that I think they're working with ESA, European Space Agency. So I guess it would be a little bit more open because of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's about, you know, the sample that they're going to use is going to be available for research. So, that's good to see that collaboration. And yeah, I am super excited to see that starship fly, Lindsay. Yeah. And you know, I just I'll be working, but I will be streaming it on YouTube while I work because I'm still at home. So
awesome. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care where I am. If I'm working, yeah. If I'm teaching, the kids are going to be watching it with me. If it's if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll be up for it.
That tin can
there's no way I'm missing
it. Literally
that.
Does
yeah.
look like
it is a tin can. Yeah, tin can. A tin can with a very sophisticated tin can. Yeah.
I mean, seeing the static fire was exciting enough, but seeing it lift and do a I'm just
it's gonna be
so
something.
Great time to live with all these exciting developments. Yeah. You know, it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think humans in 100 years from now during the next pandemic are going to think they got excited about a tin can? We've got starships everywhere.
Well, I think so because, like, you know, well, I'm still excited about the first, like, the first landing on the moon.
Agreed.
I still try to kind of think about, wow, how did they actually manage to do it with all the technical difficulty and all of that, you know?
Agreed.
So, like, you know, I don't think that future humans are going to think that we're just so like backwards or anything like that. I think they're just going to admire all the hard work that's gone into it to get to where they are.
Well, we are.
Very true.
You know? Like we do, I think, you know.
Yeah. That they will sit back and reflect and they'll say, it's been a long road getting from there to here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Dad joke. Only Star Trek fans will know what I'm talking about.
Star Trek world, if I have an answer to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. All right. Thanks for that. That's an awesome update. I love, we're all in love with space news and especially just the way it teaches us. I was talking about, you know, God on a cosmological level. We haven't even scratched the surface, to be honest, with everything. It's amazing. All right, so let's wrap it up there for today. So we want to thank you all so much for joining us for episode 46 of The Catholics of Oz. I hope you feel a bit more spiritually enthused and even a bit more educated after what we've been talking about today.
As well.
Yeah, true. The whole That's lot, true. Yes. And as always, we'd like to thank our patrons who make it possible for the Catholics of Oz to exist and all the other shows on the StarQuest network. And today, we would really love to thank Vincent D, Edward B, Paul L, Enabong A, and Ryan O. Through your generous donations, the donations of all the patrons at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all the other shows at StarQuest to continue. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. And please also throw in a prayer for all of us as well. That also makes a massive difference. So we would appreciate your prayers. But also, we would love to know what you thought about today's show. So you can send us feedback by visiting sqpn.com/Oz, where you can find any show notes for today's episode. And don't forget to visit the SQPN Facebook page. Just drop in and say hello. Facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. And of course, you are very, very welcome and warmly invited to join the Catholics of Oz Facebook page as well at Facebook.com/Catholics of Oz. Remember, Oz is spelt OZ. Z for anyone else who's not sure what a Z is. Actually, yes. Any American listeners, I want to know what the equivalent of a sausage sizzle is. So it's just a beef sausage in a piece of bread with sauce on top or ketchup, I guess. And some like onion. So not raw onion, obviously it's been
they've got to be nice and grilled and
grilled onion, so
charcoal-y, not charcoal, what do you call it? Caramelized onion.
Oh, caramelized onion.
The sausage can be charcoal, that's okay. It's quite traditional.
Yes. In fact, overcooked is probably it's a tradition.
That is the right way to cook it, yes.
And when the sausage goes in the bread, corner to corner, please. Not in the middle.
Don't fold it long ways. No.
Yeah, we're very particular in Australia about our sausage sizzles. In fact, people may not know that when we have elections, the sausage sizzle comes back, and they actually call it the democracy sausage. That's a thing that's been going on for we take it very seriously. So 100%. Don't mock it.
More
don't
than
mock
the
it.
Actual election itself.
If that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's it's, true. Yep.
Absolutely.
Let's
All right.
not go into elections. But anyway.
Not Caroline. Yet, not yet.
Thank you so much for being on today's episode and for everything you've shared.
Thank you, guys. It's fun as always.
Yeah. And Lino, so great to have you back. Thanks for being on episode 46 of The Catholics of Oz.
Thank you very much, guys. You take care and God bless everyone.
God bless.
Yeah. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant. And thank you so much for listening to episode 46 of The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.